I don't think he was living whenever I was first starting.
If it was in the 60s, it was pretty late. I mean, must have been near 70.
I played with his boys occasionally. They lived there at Rich Creek.
Really?
Yeah, they...
They play like him?
Well, they were twins. They play. They don't play fiddles. One of them plays mandolin and guitar. They're good musicians.
By the time I met Alan Jabor and them in 1970, I think he was dead.
Is that right?
I just happened to think the first time we ever met was at Morgantown up at the college. Remember that? What year was? Do you know what year that was?
That's what I was talking about earlier today. I think it was in late 69.
That's somewhere along there.
Or early 70, because yeah. I was asking you all those tunes that I knew that Burl played, and you said, where in the world are you getting them things from? You know, like Fine Times at Our House and all them Hammond's tunes.
That Sherman was something. That is the biggest set of feet I ever seen hooked onto a man's legs. I was looking at him one time. We were playing up there, being me and you and Tom Brown up there that time, when Sherman got your teenage band. I got to looking at them feet. I'm telling you, the biggest fiddle case. Like a big old snowshoe rabbit when he is fatting. Up there at Huntersville one time, Sherman liked the way I played Billy in the Lowground. He told me he'd come up on the stage. He's very polite. Come up on the stage, he said, Mr. Smith, he said, I'd like to get you to play Billy in the Lowground for Burl. I said, all right. Well, he got over on the mic, and he told him, listen, everybody is all drunked up and doped up. Listen, he said, I'm going to get Mr. Smith to play Billy in the Lowground for my brother Burl. Nobody couldn't hear a thing. He hauled off and gobbled, and everything got into the quiet. Then he got his message across. I thought I'd die. Like, I mean, he gobbled. It sounded just exactly like a turkey. He could sound just exactly like a turkey, couldn't he?
Have you seen that 30-minute show on the Ivydale Festival in 1972? That they got.
Yeah, I've seen two or three of them.
They got him gobbling in the beginning.
The one that Gates did?
Yeah. Is there more?
I don't know. The one they showed at Augusta that year?
Yeah. You can get they got a VCR copy of it. They're selling it. Oh, yeah, I bought one from Dave.
Huh. I was there that year.
Hi.
I was there that year.
You're not in it.
No, I don't think so.
You were playing banjo back in, weren't you?
Huh?
Had you started fiddling back in?
Yeah, I was fiddling, but not much in public.
Oh, I remembered you playing banjo.
Yeah.
But you took up the banjo first, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, I played guitar. Started first before me.
I'll tell you what, they're lucky to come out from that holler over there with no killings nor nothing.
At Ivydale?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a wonder somebody didn't get hurt somehow or another.
I saw a guy, you know, come that close to drowning that when the water was over the bridge that time. Mm-hmm. And this guy, how did that happen? They hadn't closed off the bridge yet. It was flooding and the water was rising. Mm-hmm. They were still letting people wade across the bridge. And this guy stepped down
missed
off the
it.
Side,
missed
the bridge, and he was going under like that, and somebody had him by the arms, and his head was underneath. And they were trying to pull him out from underneath the bridge, and water just pouring through there. And
good.
They got him drug out and got the water out of him and stuff, but he came that close. He was under that bridge, wedged in there.
Which year? Because it happened 2 years.
Yeah, but the one year was real bad when you couldn't. Everybody got locked, waterbound on there, you know. You couldn't get off.
That's the night I was over starving to death.
Okay.
Old man Sloan Stagg, him and his wife, they pulled in there with their camper. And I had stuff in my car to eat, but it was on the other side. And I told old man Steig, I said, I'm absolutely starved to death. That was the first year I met him. I said, I've got stuff over in my car to eat, but I can't get to him. He said, come on. He said, my wife has got some stuff out here. You know how he talked. And we went out there, and she fixed me some sandwiches, and buddy, I'll never forget that.
What was it? What was it Ira said one time when he got a coach? Sloan was playing?
That was up at Elkins at the contest up there. I was playing in there, and Ira was standing there. And Sloan, you know, he had this throat problem. Sloan come in, he said, hello, Mr. Smith. I turned around. Oh, he said, you old bastard, I knowed you'd be here. he was a preacher. He told me, he said, I've been called everything else but an old bastard. And it just tickled him to death because he knowed I, you know. I was just glad to see him, and that was his way it was in. The first time Helen ever met Ira was at Droop Mountain. You were probably there, wasn't it? Droop Mountain.
Yeah.
Rained every day.
Yeah.
It started just pouring the rain. We run and jumped in the car with Ira. Him and Lee was in there. And he was sober. And he was sitting there, and he, as he was, but maybe I had displayed shortening in the bread. Maybe he had just had a drink or two, just enough to make him talking. Well, John Morris hollered for me to come over there under the tent or something. I just left Helen sitting there in the car, and he started telling her about where all he was going to be, you know, where all he was appearing in the Midwest, you know, and Champaign, Illinois, and this, that, and the other. And finally told her, he said, well, he said, I can't hardly afford not to go there paying me such good money. He said, a bunch of congressmen's got together. Getting him out there. Bunch of congressmen. And she, how come we know about that? I come back around, she got a chance. She said, I wish you could get some places to play like Mr. Mullins. Well, I don't. I said, where old Mr. Mullins going to be? And she started telling me, I thought I'd die laughing. He'd give her a snow job at one quick. And he had told her, well, a bunch of congressmen's got together. I tell you what, though, the best story on Ira Mullins never got out. He never told that. Time he fell through that Elk River Bridge. You knowed about that, didn't you? Him and his whole family broke through the Elk River Bridge. When it was an old wooden bridge, he crossed there with a Model T. He was moving.
It done the phone.
Had all of his furniture on a truck and his family. He broke through that Elk River Bridge, and all that kept Ira Mullins alive, he had all his dishes packed in one of these great old big Uncle Tom pickle barrels. It hit right on the end like that, set up straight. The truck come over backwards and would have got Ira, but it landed on that pickle barrel, and they all walked out of there. But of course, now Ira wasn't able to work for about 2 years, and all he got out of that was $60. He never had much to say about that, but...
The truth, he didn't.
Yeah, he didn't want to mess with that. He didn't want to mess with that.
I've heard people say now that he was a good soldier.
He was one of the finest sawmill men ever was.
Okay.
Guy told me, said he had sawed for Osmond's over. And he said he went over there one day, hauled a load of logs in there on Saturday, and got there just about 11 o'clock. And he wanted to get this bunch of logs sawed so bad, he was building them. I told him, well, he says, we quit at 12 o'clock on Saturday. He said, yeah, he'll come back on Monday. He said he took Ira a fifth, and he told him, he said, now, Ira, he said, get these men to help you. He said, and saw a bunch of logs for him. He said, he's a fifth there in the car, I'll just give you. Well, he said, I don't mind if we do. He said, we'll just get on them and get. He said he went out to a store somewhere to get gas or something, and he said when he come back, they had that lumber sawed and all sitting there drinking that fifth.
Well,
Ira Mullins was a fine woodsman.
After all that BS that I heard, that's the kind of stuff you never hear.
Yeah.
He is a hard-working man. I had just retired the first time I ever met him over at the Morris Boys. He had just retired, and honest to God, you know how he went in his last days. He might have on dress pants and a dress shirt and a baseball cap and tennis shoes. Ira Mullins dressed just like a lawyer back in them days. He come down there at that festival. He had on a nice suit and just everything, you know, just around there. And I just think to myself, man, he's a business guy. And next morning I seen him, and he had fell in the creek, and he had lost his checkbook, and he had going up and down that creek hunting for his checkbook. Bill Holmes said one morning, he was over there, and said, on Sunday morning, and said he was just dying for a cup of coffee, just looking around everywhere, see if anyone was brewing any coffee or anything like that. Said over there stood Ira and Lee. Of course, said they'd stood there all night by a fire. Said he, Ira, said, you want something to drink? Yeah, I believe I do. He said he went over and handed him a bottle of Wild Irish Rose. He thought they had coffee. Hand him a bottle of Wild Irish Rose. Did we ever play a little tune called Here and There? Mm. Well, we will after a while.
Write that down.
Now and then.
Sooner or later.
That year that I played with you down at Ripley, Ira Mullins was down there, and that was the last time I was ever around him very much. I got so sick and tired of hearing him tell him stories. He got on the FBI and how he worked for the FBI, and it just, that period of time that I was there, I just got sick of it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I got me a laugh over one night. He got drunk, he come in there, and Russell Fluharty, and I don't know who all was in this, all, you know how they're laying them bunks there, everybody. We had all went in ready to go to bed. Well, here come Ira. And he went in, and he put on them old big striped pajamas. And he'd come out there, and he'd go over to this one. He'd go over to this one and talk a while. And go over to another one and talk a while. And Kenny Kendall had his bass fiddler laying on one of them cots with a sheet pulled up over it. I'd look over at that bass fiddle once in a while. Well, I told him, I said, all right, get in bed. I said, you look like a damn big striped stick of candy standing there. I said, get in the bed. I'm tired of talking with you. We want to go to sleep. And he'd go over and say a few words to Russell and right back to me. Well, finally, he went to bed. And ever so often, he'd look over at that cot with the bass fiddle on it. Next morning, he shaved and come out, and he'd all cleaned up and sober. Come down through there, looked over and seen the neck of that bass fiddle. My God, he said, I wondered who that big son of a bitch was in that bed there last night. You know how why a bass fiddle come up like it? Hey, I'll tell you another damn deal. Where was that Red Truman? You met him, didn't you?
Check? Is that the same guy as Check Truman?
No.
Red Truman.
Red Ernest was his name.
You remember
old man.
Truman?
Old man.
That, they tried to get to come off of Mount St. Helena before.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
His brother,
that
him.
That was his brother.
Is that right?
Red's brother, yeah.
I can just hear Red pon my honor, Harry. Why didn't you come off there? Red used to live over at Wyden. He sold a man a cow. The man asked him, said, is that cow gentle? Why, he said, me and my wife both milks her. And the man took her home. She's just a regular outlaw. He said, I thought you said you and your wife could both milk her. He said, that's right. He said, it takes both of us. He's just an outlaw.
Harvey Samson's brother. What's his name? Homer. Homer Samson. And he went to look at this cow. And the guy was telling him all about what a fine cow it was. He said, and she doesn't have nothing but bull calves. So then his mother never had nothing but bull calves.
That kind of reminds me back home where there was this family of Linville, like myself, pretty well retarded, you know. And Eric Bedsall said he went down the field one day, and his uncle, I called him Left, he heard this little bull a-bellering down there on Left's place. He told that little animal boy, said, "Why," he said, "I didn't know Uncle Left had a bull." "Why, yes," said, "he's had him ever since. He's just a little heifer." Them Linvilles was something else. One of them come into the factory one morning. One of them come into the furniture factory one morning. He told me, he said, "Boy," he said, "Pap was mad this morning." I said, "What happened, Pap?" "All of them just lived there like a bunch of cattle or something. He had his chickens roosted in the chimney corner." He said, "Jim climbed up a ladder watching John's old lady take a bath last night, and the ladder broke and he fell on Pap's seed rooster." Seed rooster.
Seed rooster. Helen cook like this every day, Glenn?
Then you want to set the table?
Hmm. Does she cook like this every day for you?
Well, if I take a notion I want something to eat, she fixes it. She's good about that. You know what I eat a lot of times of a night?
What's that?
Cornbread and buttermilk and a little margarine. Just hot cornbread, you know, big old glass of buttermilk. I love buttermilk. Mm-hmm. Through all that dancing, I'd just be killed when I got through. I went through that dancing many a time playing for it. Gonna do the old dancing type Gray Eagle.
Can we hear about the last bar of that?
Sure. In it now, and I just soon not lose it, because we ain't gonna be able to get up tomorrow morning and get this going again. I don't think.
What is this thing put on there?
It's Tommy Gerald's. It's like Tommy Gerald's John Brown stream.
Marry that pretty little girl.
Uh-huh. It's just good with the guitar with it. The only reason to do it is just for a variation.
Yeah. What do you think? Think it would be good with fiddle and banjo?
Man, it's up to you fellas.
For me, I like it just as well with the guitar. I'm not interested in...
Well, it's just to have the guitar.
But, whatever.
Okay, play once or twice too. Corny to wait till you guys play it through a couple times and then start on the guitar?
It's his album.
Yeah, what do you think, man?
It's all right.
Well, now I'll tell you what we had on one of ours. I played a verse, Dwight come in on the next, and you come in on the next one.
It's fine with me. Try it.
All ready to go. Thank you. good ending was the phone on there.
I think we'll leave it.
Well, that one clicked long.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm glad we redid that one.
What else you got there, Glenn?
Well, we could do a little Dance Around Molly. You play Dance Around Molly?
I've heard Dwight play that with Woody Simmons. 1971.
You want to go over a little bit of
it? Sure.
Dance Around Molly. Thank you. in Walt's time. What? Well, it just rung right on the end. I just think it'd make a good ending. It rung right on the end of the tune. That'll just make a good ending. Try a little here and there. Try a little more.
Yeah.
We might get back on it. Get back onto that thing. There's something else there. Hey. Just try Pretty Polly Ann. To get on to, ain't
it? It's nice. It's nice.
What is that? Pretty Polly Ann?
Pretty Polly Ann, but it's a little hard to get on to.
Play it a little bit slower.
Was I hitting some wrong chords?
Let me get her started and then you fall in on it.
Okay. Thank you.
we can play better than that. That's a little hard to get on to, though, the time.
You mean to lay out?
Grandpappy, name something.
You two plant?
Let's forget it.
That's good to know
that. Why don't you put it on there just so it'll be someplace? Because I don't know anybody plays that tune.
Yeah, let's go ahead and record it. You don't have to use it.
Yeah, we can.
Good.
Just go ahead and lay it down on there.
I'll
just
bury it in the backyard.
Hmm?
I always bury it in the backyard.
Just a little of that back. We might have been sounding fair on the last day. I wouldn't pay you nothing, and I could make a lot of money. I'm hunting for my jacket.
Paid $900 that night.
Just in one night. I didn't have to fully play none of the sessions.
Old Mother Flanagan can't get a man again hole in her heel, you can roll a bed of cotton in. Okay. That's what Lee Griffith said it was.